Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is a day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as I say every day, I'm blessed to be with you this morning. It is, I can only say that your host slept real, real good. Your host slept real, real good. You know, when you ask God for a good night's rest, He would give it to you. I guess I fell asleep with my phone in my hand because my oldest son was the last person that I talked to before I went to bed. And again, thank you for your prayers of protection for him as he travels the highways and byways. I obviously don't know if I was trying to call him or if my phone just went to the number that was the last number in it, but I fell asleep with the phone in my hand. Thank God it was on the charger because I guess I called him in the middle of the night and he came in and took the phone out of my hand to be, because I slept through the call, slept through everything. He said, Mom, you fell asleep calling me. So all I got to say is, don't fall asleep when you call on the Lord, because he will answer your prayers. Don't fall asleep when you're calling on the Lord. And the word that God gave me is on how precious is your loving kindness. Oh, God, he is so good. He is so kind. He is so loving. And he loves us more than we could ever imagine and more than we could ever think. I just thank God for his love. Thank him for his love, because he loved us enough to give his only begotten son, that we may have the opportunity for eternal life. Just imagine, had he not given his son, had he not taken us forward, we still have to get animal sacrifices. But he tore the veil from the top down at his passing. How precious is your loving kindness. oh God. And as we go into our Deuteronomy words this morning, we think about the history lesson Moses is given. He is giving a history, a lesson on what they've come through. And he tells them, he says, then we turned and went up the road. And we all got to go up a road. Father God in heaven, we thank you for giving us opportunity to turn up the road, to move forward in our lives, to move forward in your word, to move forward in ministry, to move forward in whatever we got to do. We got to move forward and not look back. I'm moving ahead. We got to go up the road. Father God, we got to continue trusting in you. But your loving kindness takes us higher, takes us wider, takes us deeper. It's the deepest depth than we've ever been. Father God, I give myself away for you to use me this morning. Use me for your glory, for your honor, and for your praise, God. So I give you all of me. Use me, Lord, for your kingdom. Use me for good. Use me, Lord God. I am an open vessel. Open for your Holy Spirit. So, Father God, I ask you, as I do every day, to increase as I decrease, Father God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength, and you are my redeemer. In Jesus' name, I look up and I give you honor and I give you glory and I give you hallelujah praise. Amen. Whew, in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you going up the road, family? And the word of God says, and when we turned and went up the road to Bashan, and Or, king of Bashan, came out against us, he and all his people, the battle of Edra. And the Lord said to me, do not fear him, for I have delivered him and all his people and his land into your hand. You shall do to him as you did to Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Ashbon. So the Lord our God also delivered into our hands Or, king of Bashan. You know, you would think that after hearing about these people coming through en masse, because remember, it's over 1 million people coming through en masse, who are not afraid of you because they go with their God, and their God is stronger, bigger, wider, creator. And it tells us here that he went to Bashan with all his people, and we attacked him until he had no survivors remaining. And we took all his cities at that time. There was not a city which we did not take from him, 60 cities, all the region of Orgob, the kingdom of Og and Bashan. All these cities were fortified with high walls, gates, and bars, besides a great many rural towns. And we utterly destroyed them as we did to Sihon, king of Ashbon, utterly destroying the men, women, and children of every city. But all the livestock and the spoil of the cities we took as booty for ourselves. And at that time, we took the land from the hand of the two kings of the Amorites who were on this side of the Jordan, from the river Arnon to Mount Hermon, the Sidonians, the Sidonians called Harmon, Sirion, and the Amorites called it Sinai. All the cities of the plains, all Gilead and all Bashan, as far as Silkah and Edrei, and cities of the kingdom of Og and Bashan. The only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of the giants. Indeed, his bedstead was an iron bedstead. It is not in Rabbah, of the people of Ammon, 9 cubits is its length, and 4 cubits is the width according to the standard cubit. And this land, which we possess at the river from Aroer, which is by the river Arnon and half the mountains of Gilead and the cities, I gave to the Reubenites and the Gadites. The rest of Gilead and all Bashan, the kingdom of Og, I gave half to the tribe of Manasseh. All the region of Argob, which all Bashan, with all Bashan, was called the land of the giants. Jair, the son of Manasseh, took all the region of Argob as far as the border of the Gershites and the Mechites, and called Bashan after his own name, Havajah, to this day. Also, I gave Gilead to Makar and to the Reubenites and the Gittites. I gave them Gilead as far as the river Arnon, the middle of the river, as the border, far as the river Jabbok. The border of the people of Ammon, the plain also with the Jordan as the border, from Chinneret as far as the east side of the sea of the Arabah, the south sea below the slopes of Pisgah. Then I commanded you at that time, saying, the Lord your God has given you the land to possess. All you men of valor shall cross over armed before your brothers, the children of Israel. For your wives, your little ones, and your livestock, I know that you have made livestock, much livestock, shall stay in your cities, which I have given you until the Lord has given rest to your brethren as to you, and they also possess the land which the Lord your God is giving them beyond the Jordan. Then each of you may return to his possession, which I have given you. And I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, your eyes have seen all that the Lord your God has done to these two kings. So will the Lord do to all the kingdoms to which you pass. You must not fear them, for the Lord your God himself fights for you. Then I pleaded with the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do anything like your work and your mighty deeds? I pray, let me cross over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, those pleasant mountains and Lebanon. But the Lord was angry at me on your account and would not listen to me. But the Lord said to me, enough of that. Speak no more to me of this manner. Go up to the top of Pisgah and lift your eyes toward the west, the north, the south, and the east. Behold it with your eyes, for you shall not cross over this Jordan. But command Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which you will see. So we stayed in the valley opposite Beth Peor. Think about how hard that is. You have brought these folks through good, through bad, through downright ugly adultery. You have brought them through thick, through thin, through famine, through water, through want. And now you get to the door of the promised land and can't go in, because you made a mistake and you didn't get grace. And you're like, Lord, can I have grace? Can I please go in? The Lord said, no, you can't go in. But Moses didn't know he was going to a better place. He was going to be with the Lord. He was going to be with his son. He was going to a better place than the promised land. But at the time, he didn't know that. Deuteronomy 3:22, you must not fear them, for the Lord your God himself fights for you. Life lesson number one for Deuteronomy 3. God knew the tremendous obstacles that Joshua and the Israelites would face when conquering the promised land. And so he assured them that he would provide them with victory. They would not conquer in their own strength, but in his. Likewise, no matter what obstacle hinder you, the Lord can overcome it for you. Trust him. Are you trusting God today? Deuteronomy 3 and 26, enough of that. Speak no more to me of this matter. The Bible teaches us to pray and keep on praying and not to give up. We may call upon God for any reason at any time regarding any problem or difficulty or challenge. Yet there may come times when the Lord lets us know it is time to stop praying. Or if he had to let Moses know, quit praying for that because you're not going to get it. I told you, you would not make it. I told you to speak to that rock, and you did it. And I told you at that time that you was not going to make it in to the promised land because of your disobedience. And that was hard. And I'm sure Moses was like, you're giving everybody grace, but you can't give me in. But again, what we think is a setback set up. Because Moses, his body was never found and will never be found. Because I personally don't think it exists in this plane. When God buries something, you better believe it's buried in a place that the enemy can't get to. And God is the God of the universe. So it can be buried anywhere in this universe, anywhere in any planet. God made a decision that there would not be a body for Moses left, I believe, on this earth. That's just my opinion. Don't go running. But I know that God is omnipotent and he can do anything. And we all know absent from his body is in the presence of the Lord. So when Moses was praying for, I want to go to this earthly land of milk and promise, of milk and honey. And God, he didn't know that God was giving him something better. He was giving him eternal life. Because who came to visit with Jesus on the mountaintop? Isaiah and Moses transitioned to be with the Lord. They are in the long white robe. They were there for the Savior to give them consultation. They were having a consultation. And after they were finished giving them instruction, they was gone. As Peter's talking about, do I need to make a tabernacle? No. They were here for a purpose. The purpose is finished. And they're gone. Until the next time when God sends them back as the witnesses. Just be ready. And it will be broadcast. Chapter 4 of Isaiah, of Deuteronomy. I'm about to go to Isaiah, y'all. To Deuteronomy. Now, O Lord, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you, to observe that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor, for the Lord your God has destroyed from among you all the men who followed Baal of Peor. But you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today, each every one of you. Surely I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act according to them. In the land which you go to possess. Therefore, be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding. In the sight of the people who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. But what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us? But whoever, for whatever reason, we may call upon him, and what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgment as are in all this law, which I set before you, then only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. Then you came near and stood at the foot of the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire in the midst of heaven, with darkness, cloud, and thick darkness. And the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of the words, but saw no form. You only heard a voice. So he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, the Ten Commandments. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might observe them in the land which you crossed over to possess. Take careful heed to yourself, for you saw no form when the Lord spoke to you at Horeb, out of the midst of the fire, lest you act corruptly and make for yourself a carved image in the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any animal that is on the earth, or the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the air, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, or the likeness of any fish that is in the water beneath the earth. And take heed, lest you lift your eyes to heaven, and when you see the sun, the moon, and the stars, all the hosts of heaven, you feel driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord your God has given to all the people under the whole heaven as a heritage. But the Lord has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace, out of Egypt, to be his people and an inheritance as you are this day. Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me for your sake and said that I would not cross over the Jordan, that I would not enter the good land which the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance. But I must die in this land. I must not cross over the Jordan, but you shall cross over and possess the good land. Take heed to yourselves, lest you the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make for yourself a carved image in any form of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. When you beget children and grandchildren and have grown old in the land and act corruptly and make a God's image in the form of anything and do evil in the sight of the Lord your God to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that you will soon utterly perish from the land which you cross over, that Jordan to possess. You will not prolong your days in it, but will be utterly destroyed, and the Lord will scatter you among the people, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord will drive you. And there you will serve God, the work of mankind, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear, nor eat nor smell. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in distress and all these things come upon you in the latter days, when you turn to the Lord your God and obey his voice. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not forsake you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers which you swore to them. But ask now concerning the days that are past, which were before you, since the day that God created man on the earth, and ask from one end of heaven to the other whether any great thing like this has happened, or anything like it has been heard. Did any people ever hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire as you have heard and lived? Or did God ever try to go and take for himself a nation from the midst of another nation by trials, by signs, by wonders, by war, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and by great terrors according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? To you it was shown that you might know that God himself is none other beside him. Out of heaven he let you hear his voice that he might instruct you on earth. He showed you his great fire, and you heard his words out of the midst of the fire. And before he loved your fathers, therefore he chose their descendants after them. And he brought you out of the land with his presence, with his mighty power, driving out from before you nations greater and mightier than you, to bring you in, to give you their land as an inheritance, as it is this day. Therefore, know this day and consider in your heart that the Lord himself is God in heaven, above and on the earth beneath. There is no other. Can I say that again? There is no other. You shall therefore keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you today, that it may go well with you and with your children until you, children after you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord your God is giving you for all time. Ooh, can I just say it? How precious is your loving kindness of God? You think about the love God had for us, for the children of Israel, the love God had for this planet that he created, to give a second chance. What a mighty God he says. And as we get back into our Deuteronomy word in chapter 4, it says, then Moses set apart 3 cities on this side of the Jordan toward the rising of the sun, that the manslayer might flee there, who kills his neighbor unintentionally. Note that word, unintentionally, without having hated him in time past, and that by fleeing to one of these seas he might live. These are in the wilderness to the plateau for the Reubenites, Ramoth and Gilead for the Gittites, and Golan and Bashan for the Manassites. Now this is the law which Moses set before the children of Israel. These are the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which Moses spoke to the children of Israel after they came out of Egypt on this side of the Jordan in the valley opposite Beth Peor in the land of Shinar, king of the Amorites, who dwell at Hashbon, whom Moses and the children of Israel defeated after they came out of Egypt. And they took possession of his land in the land of Or, king of Bashan, 2 kings of the Amorites who were on this side of the Jordan, toward the rising of the sun from Aor, which is on the bank of the river Anon, even to Mount Eon, that is Arnon, and all the plain on the east side of the Jordan, as far as the sea of Arabah, below the slope of Pisgah. Oh, what a word, what a word. That's a shot up in here. And I have a life lesson. I have a couple of life lessons. And a life question for you from Dr. Stanley. And for those who are saying, why should you keep calling on Dr. Stanley's name? Because we are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. This is our study Bible for this year. And all I can say is thank you, Dr. Stanley. I pray that as many people on this planet that can buy this Bible, buy it. Again, not paid by Dr. Stanley or his ministry. But I will say this is one of the best Bibles I've ever purchased for my biblical arsenal. And we need to have our arsenal ready because we fight with the Word of God. We fight with the Word of God. I'm asking God to bring to remembrance scripture and location. Because I read everything in it, but that where's and the what for, I want to start to memorize scripture that touches my heart as I go through. So thank you, God, for that assignment. And thank you, God, for the memorization. Hallelujah. And the word for Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24 says, for the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. The Lord is jealous in the sense that you will not share the hearts of his people with anyone or anything else. We belong to him alone. Intimacy with God is his highest priority for our lives. God loves us, and he wants time with us. And he wants us to love him back just like he loves us without condition. Thank God today. He gave that opportunity for you all. Thank you, God. Gotta take a minute. Just say thank you. And this is a word, a question, which we will get to after we get to our last life lesson, which is Deuteronomy 4 and 31. He will not forsake you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers. We serve God, who is powerful, awesome, mighty, loving, compassionate, and fully worthy of our trust. The Lord never makes a promise he can't keep, and he never forgets the promises he has made. God makes promises, and you can take the promise of God to the bank. Whatever God tells you to do, just do it. I got a lot of what God is telling me to do today. Oh, I'm overwhelmed, but I know that I know without any doubt the Lord will help me make it through. In the name of Jesus, I believe that. How does God get we use it to control unruly behavior, signal the start of finish of an event. My grandchildren's father, you know, my godson, is a whistler. I have never understood if this man can whistle and his children come. I told him, I said, they're not pets, they're not dogs. That you blow the whistle and they come. But it's just something that they, as a family, came upon because they go to car shows and they go to events all over the country. And so he developed the whistle for them to know where his family, their family is, to know where to go. If I hear my dad's whistle, I know where he is. And I know that where that whistle is, there is protection. There is love. There is a peace. because I know where my daddy is. So, you know, God is listening for us today. So we know where he is. And it tells us that whipper can get our attention quickly. We use it to control unruly behavior, signal the start or finish of the event, or interrupt the action in a game. Regardless of who blows it, a whistle tells us to stop and listen while it was blown. What does God use to get our attention? Sometimes he uses a tool of a restless spirit, which might appear as some vague dissatisfaction of life. Other times, God uses another person's words to help us recognize that he is speaking to us. Sometimes he uses the method of unusual blessing. In each case, we are to stop and ask, Lord, are you trying to say something to me? We got to learn how to be quiet and just sit still and listen, and God will come in the midst and talk with you. He will come and talk with you. All you have to do is listen. And as we continue, it says, God sometimes allows our prayers to remain unanswered in order to prompt us to sharpen our focus on him. Or he may say no to our request in order to gain our attention. He occasionally uses disappointment, difficulties, and failures for the same reason. If we are to be alive, we will quickly seek him out in tragedies, financial reversals, and physical afflictions. God wants to see if we will turn to him and ask, God, are you speaking to me? God, are you speaking to me? God, are you speaking to me? Are you listening? What does it take for the Lord to get our attention? Will a restless spirit cause us to seek godly counsel? Do we listen when God sends someone to point out his way? When blessings come, do we turn to God and ask how we would like us to use them? Do we seek God when our prayers go unanswered? How long does it take us to get past our emotions over disappointments, difficulties, and failures to listen to what our Heavenly Father has to say? In times of great financial crisis, tragedy, and sickness, do our eyes and minds lift heavenward to seek God's love and wisdom? God desires our undivided attention, but we get preoccupied. He wants to speak with us, but we keep looking at our folks' business, isn't it? Allow the events of your life, both the pleasant and the painful, to prompt you to turn to God and ask, Lord, are you asking for my attention? Don't allow yourself to miss what the Lord wants to tell you. Begin now to train yourself to give him your full attention. Allow what happens in your day to draw you to him. He is waiting for you. God is waiting for me. He's waiting for you. He's waiting for us. And as we get into our psalm, which is where our title comes from, how precious is your loving kindness, O God. God gave them the promised land. Loving kindness gave them everything they needed and more than they ever asked for. I could think about. God did it. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasantries. For with you is the fountain of life. is your light. We see light. Oh, continue your loving kindness to those who know you and your righteousness to the upright in the heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked drive me away. There the workers of iniquity have fallen. They have been cast down and are not able to rise. We got to give it over to God. Whatever your situation is, give it to God. He can handle it. He knows you. He knows every hair on your head and can count each and every one. Give whatever your situation is, give it to God. Proverbs 12:7, the wicked are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous will stand. Hallelujah. Will you stand for God today? For God I live and for God I die. Do you have that in your spirit? God knows us. He knows our heart. He knows our mind. He knows us. Thank you, Lord, for your love. And now we're getting into Luke. As we've been studying in Luke, we know that Jesus has risen. We know that he showed himself to Mary Magdalene. We know that the women, Joanna and company, Mary and company, went to find the disciples and told the disciples of the risen Savior. But because he appeared to women, they didn't want to believe it. I want to believe y'all in it. And so let's see what happens. Please join me in Luke chapter 11, starting at verse 20. And it says, inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us. It seemed good to me also, having had perfected understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you in an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God, in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, he said, and failed to burn incense. According to the custom of the priesthood, his lot failed to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fell, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias. But your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. And you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. Also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord your God. he will also go before him in the spirit and prayer of Elijah to turn the hearts of the God, I just thought about John. Both looking at him strange because he had on his camel clothes and was eating bugs. I don't know. High in protein. But he was afraid of him. They're scared of him. And I'm going to go back to verse number 16. It says, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. Y'all got that right. To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? I am an old man, and my wife is advanced years. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel. This is where the angel gave his name. I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place because you did not believe the word of which will be fulfilled in their own time. And I'm going to read that again. Because he made him mute. And it says, but behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. God will give you the desire of your heart. All you have to do is be patient and wait on the Lord. And before we get out of here this morning, our prayer for today. Light of approval. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 2, in our SV. In the light of your face, O God, I see myself more clearly. It is by faith that I have been saved, not through anything I could have ever done. I could not talk my way into your favor. Your goodness is poured out over my life in abundant grace. Not because I did anything to deserve it, but because I am yours, I am in relationship with you. Okay. Hey. Thank you, God, that this mystery is illustrated even in this very prayer. The very moment I turn to you in prayer, my faith being exercised, there is nothing. Ooh, I'm going to say this. There is nothing I could do to add or take away from what you've done. I couldn't talk you out of loving me. I won't stop turning to you, Lord. You are the best thing I've ever known. And when I read that, I thought, and I'm telling you, I'm not going. You're the best man I've ever known. There's no way. Ooh. It's know-how. It's like I had a every moment when I read that. I won't stop turning to you, Lord. You are the best thing ever known. And I can say that he is the best thing I've ever known. He is my father. He is my friend. He is the one that cuddles me in the middle of the night. Thank you, Jesus. You're the best thing I've ever known, Lord. As I walk with you, fill me with your revelation knowledge that reveals who you are and what you are up to. May my faith grow so that I may be closer to you. That's all that matters. And the question for today is this. Are you trying to earn God's approval? Are you trying to earn God's approval? Are you walking in light? Are you walking in peace? Are you walking in his love? That love that surpasses all understanding. Are you trusting in God? How precious is your loving kindness, oh God. All we can say is thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for being there for us. We're not there for us. And as we get ready to pray out this morning, just remember that God's love is unconditional. His love is more important than diamonds and babies. So thank you, Jesus, for that. I just had to take a moment just to say thank you. Thank you, God, for all you've done with me. Oh, thank you, God. If there is no one that has anything to say this morning, we wrap it up with a prayer and a thought from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. And our word for Sister Carolyn is this. Even when things are not going so great, take a look back. You may not be where you want to be, but you're not where you used to be. And think about the children of Israel. 40 years in the wilderness. 40 years going from place to place. 40 years of fighting giants. 40 years in the wilderness. I know I got to let you go. And I want to thank God again for all of you. Thank you for joining me this morning. I'm a little hoarse, but I'm grateful. I'm grateful that God gave me a voice. I'm grateful that God woke me up this morning. I'm grateful that he gave me a do-over. I'm grateful that God is in the midst of everything I do. All I can say is thank you, Lord. And for all of you today, all I can say is, it's a wrap. Thank you for joining me this morning. Thank you for taking time out of your busy morning, time from sleep, to come and join me as we move forward in the Word of God. You are appreciated. Thank you very much. In Jesus' name, again, I pray. May the Lord God watch you through me while we're out of your loving another. Whew, thank you, Jesus. Have a good day, family. It is a wrap. I just had to have a moment of quiet with God just to thank him for his magnificence. And to thank him for his loving kindness. How precious God's love is for us. As you go through your day today, don't forget. As you're going through, even if it's bad, even if you're just having a day, remember, God loves you. He loves me. And he saved his only son for my sin. That he took him to the cross. My feet. Thank you, God. Have a blessed day, family. Again, I pray that the Lord watches over you, that the Lord keeps you, and that the Lord allows his face to shine upon you. In the midst of whatever you're going through, know that God's love and kindness is with you. And I'll say officially this time, It is a wrap.